election for Biden, and the future has never looked brighter. Our nation is so unified around our fearless leader, considering the fact that he received 666 million votes, which smashed his previous record, breaking 81 million votes. We've never seen such popularity. I mean, think about it. Biden signs are everywhere. I've seen shirts, crowds, mugs, keychains, bumper stickers. It's obvious how loved President Biden truly is. And in Biden's American dream, you can be whatever and whoever you want. Binary, non-binary, polybinary, multi-non-binary, left of binary, even a furry, animal spirit, dog, cat, a dinosaur, a car, a tree, anything you want. We accept everyone and love everyone and their identity. Except you just can't identify as free, constitutionalist, American, white, Christian, manly, straight, anti-LGBT, housewife, tradwife, homeschooler, truther, or based. Watch out for those people. They're evil-minded. And probably the worst identity of them all are those who would say that they have the Baptist bias.
Great to be on the road here at Verity Baptist Church, Red Hot Preaching Conference 2023, day two, and we've already heard so many great sermons. If you want to check out the sermons, you can go to bannedbutnotbound.com, sign up for the email list, and get subscribed. And boy, I just can't understand why those people with the Baptist bias don't think that Joe Biden got 666 million votes already. What do you think about that, Brother Ben?
Well, I mean, it's pretty obvious that anybody who disagreed with that clip, has a toxic, you could say mental illness called the Baptist bias. So I'm glad that you allowed differing perspectives on this program and that you let my inner liberal come out through that segment.
Well, it's great to have Ben, our co-host here on the show. And we also have a couple special guests. We have Pastor Aaron Thompson. And why don't you say hi to everybody?
Hey, everybody.
Short
now, sweet. How many churches do you actually have? I think this has been a big question.
I knew
question.
That was going to be the first question.
Okay, good.
I got to take off my shoes for this one, I think.
Is it harder to remember how many churches you have or how many years you've been married?
I got the marriage thing down pretty good. No, I got so I have four churches in Washington now. Our home church, Seattle, Spokane, and Yakima.
Taking Washington over.
Yeah, we got the four corners painted. Now we just got to fill in the rest.
Nice.
We got two churches in Canada and one church in England.
Wow.
So
that's impressive. So you've been pastoring for how long?
It'll be 5 years next week.
You've got more churches than years of experience. This is getting scary here for us. Yeah. No, that's great to have Pastor Thompson. And boy, you know, he kind of deserves Texas because everything's bigger in Texas. But boy, apparently everything's bigger in Washington. So. We also have Pastor Jason Robinson with us from West Virginia. Why don't you say hi to everybody?
How's it going, everybody?
Now, you've been pastoring for quite a while. How long have you been pastoring your church there?
It'll be 6 years coming up in September.
Oh, wow. That's great. And it's great to have him. He already preached this morning for the conference, and you need to check it out. In fact, I was putting down on our notes, but I already want to include some of his statements for our new film, LGBT Terrorist, that ending preaching compilation. He had a couple statements that we need to put in there.
Yeah, that was good.
Also, Pastor Bizarnski as well.
You preached our documentary.
Yeah, that was great. And so whether you want to be in the film or not, you get invited in. So, but it's great to have you guys here. We wanted to talk a little bit about the signs of the times, and obviously, you know, every generation could probably make a case for why they're the last generation, or it seems like Bible prophecy is constantly being fulfilled, but it really does seem like in our generation, there's been a lot of crazy things happening, and, you know, especially 2020, the president, the wars that are going on, and, you know, it seems like there could be an argument that a lot of things we're experiencing are maybe some of the signs of the time. You know, and we want to look to the Bible, of course, for our direction on what those are. I know that we've had even some other people that were part of our, quote, movement or our friends, and yet they ended up not really being a friend. They ended up being a frenemy. One person in particular comes to mind is Tyler Doka. And this guy, I think he was invited to a preaching conference that was in Detroit. It was a soul-winning conference, I think, is where he went out and he ended up preaching. I think he ended up making a documentary, maybe even End Times documentary, with Pastor McMurtry, I think, at one point. And I know, I think you visited his church one time. Is that true, Pastor Thompson?
Yes, unfortunately. And my sister actually came to that service. We were kind of taking like a mileage flight before we went to the Philippines. So we flew to New York and on a red eye, and then I didn't even sleep on the plane, so I was just like up all day. And then we went to his church, and it was kind of a pain in the neck to get there, but I met my sister and my brother-in-law and my nephew, and nephews and niece were there. And so after the sermon was over, he like really wanted to know if I was going to be there for the morning or the afternoon. And I was like, I think we're going to make it for the morning service. When I got there, what's that other guy's name, that other clown that he was?
Justin LeBlanc.
Yeah, Justin LeBlanc has some poor soul cornered out in the parking lot praying with him as we walk up, right? Mm. And, like, I guess he got saved the week before that, too. But anyway.
He's been faithful the whole week.
So he wanted me to be there so he could preach his sermon about reprobates, which I fell asleep in, unfortunately. I didn't get to hear the whole thing, but my nephew puked on the floor right after the service was over. So that, my brother-in-law is like, well, that's what he thought about the preaching.
Oh, man.
So, yeah.
Well, of course, obviously, you're just trying to be friendly. You're just trying to help someone along in the ministry. I don't know, did you have any communication with Tyler Doka at any point?
So,
Wes Robinson?
I met him at that that conference out in Detroit.
Okay.
But he wanted to do a documentary with me against the Catholic Church.
Uh-huh.
And then I was like, okay, you know, that's fine. And then he contacted me and said, hey, actually, you may not want to do this documentary with me after what I preached this Sunday. And it's when he preached that back-to-back flat earth theory.
Oh, man.
And because at first I sent him a message, and I was like, well, you know, how bad could it be, you know, whatever. And then I saw what he preached. I'm like, yeah, I don't want to do that documentary with you.
He didn't convince you the earth was flat?
Yeah, right.
In 5 minutes?
It was one of those where I'm like, nah, I can't be friends with this person. And at the time I didn't think like necessarily he was unsaved. Obviously later on we realized that he's a psychopath, but yeah, the flat earth stuff, I had to nip that in the bud, so.
Well, what's crazy about this guy is some of the claims that he's made, and I think we even have a clip on this, so I want to kind of play it real quick, just so we get it from the horse's mouth, but, you know, the Bible does warn about how there's going to be false Christs in the latter days, and there's going to be people claiming to be Jesus Christ in the latter days. And so I think this is somewhat relevant, the fact that here's a guy claiming to be Jesus, and I personally think some of his claims seem a little unique, but I want to get it from the horse's mouth real quick and we can talk about it.
I'm telling people that I'm the Christ. They literally want nothing to do with me, though they're supposed to be my people. They're supposed to be people of the Bible, but they don't believe the Bible when I teach it unto them. Doesn't mean they're the right God. There's only one God. That's why the Bible says there's one God and one Lord. That's me.
If you haven't been watching my videos, yes, I claim to be the Son of God. And if you don't know why, watch the Living God documentary.
Oh, man. I think if you actually go to his website, it also is just as it's hard to even listen to this because it's so blasphemous. But I've listened to a little bit, and it seems like he was making it clear that Jesus Christ didn't come 2,000 years ago, and die on the cross. Like, all of that's a myth or a fairy tale. That he's actually, like, the true and first embodiment of Jesus Christ. Which, for me, was kind of interesting because in 1 John, the Bible talks about how Antichrist denied that Jesus Christ came in the flesh. And, of course, you know, I think of that in the first century, like, some of the Jews denying that the Messiah actually showed up and that it was Jesus. But in today's culture, it didn't seem like there's really that many people going around necessarily denying that Jesus even showed up. This guy's just claiming, like, all of history is just wrong and that Jesus didn't even show up and that all of it's a lie and he's the real first Jesus. And I'm just thinking, like, wow, that is, like, one of the craziest versions of the Antichrist I've ever seen. From y'all's perspective as pastors, have you ever heard of or seen someone, like, saying that they were the first coming of Christ? Or is that unique to you?
Yeah, I've never heard anybody that crazy before, but, you know, he was attached to us at some point. But, yeah, that is the most insane. I mean, his documentary that he always has people go back to is just
The Living God,
absolutely an acid trip, insane, like, I mean, the guy is just a total crackpot.
What about you, Pastor Robbins? Have you even heard of other antichrists like this?
No, I mean, you kind of hear about people saying that they're Jesus, but it's more like reincarnated,
yeah,
or something like that, but not like just completely denying that he even came, you know?
Right.
And so that's kind of the crazy part. I was thinking about Daniel, where it talks about how he's going to honor the God of forces, and it says that and the God whom his fathers knew not shall he honor with gold. And he kind of, the idea of, like, the Antichrist and the fact that I believe he's going to basically say all these other religions are wrong, I'm the true God, and maybe how that'll roll out, you know. Obviously, I don't personally, I believe Doka is an Antichrist, but I don't believe he's the Antichrist. But it just kind of makes you wonder, what's that conversation going to be like? You know, what's the Antichrist going to say?
Yeah.
Is he going to say, like, I'm Jesus come again? Or am I just like, hey, listen, all these are wrong, I'm the right one?
Right. Well, and praise God, this guy is, I don't think he's really that popular. I don't really think he has that much of a following. I know online there's a lot of comments and people that are claiming that they agree with him, but who knows if that's real or trolls or whatever. But, you know, I kind of wonder, like, is this style of Antichrist or false Christ, do you think that this is going to become popular or more popular than it is now? Like, what is your kind of anticipation from a Bible prophecy perspective? What is your guys' thoughts?
Well, the New Age movement does have the Christ consciousness. You know, they teach about that everybody is basically Christ or something weird like that. But, I mean, this guy, like, he's using scriptures to twist that he is Jesus. And he knows the scriptures, but he uses them, obviously, in a twisted way. I mean, I'm one of the 10 kings, apparently, of the end times. The new IFB is... You know what? I forget what he says. We're like
the ten kings, ten horns.
Yeah.
But Pastor Mahe was kind of upset because he didn't make it into the kings list. But I don't know how I did. But pretty weird.
What about you, Pastor Robinson? Do you think, obviously the Bible talks about a lot of false Christs, and also kind of talks about them showing miracles and things like that. So from your perspective, do you feel like this is a precursor to what we're going to see more in the future, or do you think it's just an anomaly?
I think we'll see more, and maybe it'll just be diverse with as far as, like, the fact that this guy is saying Jesus was never even here to begin with, but then you may have others saying, hey, I'm actually Christ, come back. And you may have a variance that kind of varies of how they even claim to be Christ. But I do think that it's going to be increased as far as the amount of people, false prophets and false Christ, as far as I think that when the end, as we approach the end, it'll be more than there is even now. So
you would think that he would maybe be a little bit more than a YouTube prophet. What do you, I mean, from your perspective, Ben, you know, this Antichrist, false prophet, is it, you can just have an only a YouTube following, or what are you thinking?
No, obviously not. The reality is, the Bible talks about a planetary government that the Antichrist is going to be ruling from. Revelation chapter 13 describes those whose names are not written in the book of life of a Lamb slain from the foundation of the world worshiping him. And so he isn't going to have some niche YouTube. But I do think that we will see smaller, quote, antichrists like Tyler Doka rise up more and more as we get closer to Daniel's 70th week. I look at a scripture like in Matthew 24, which talks about this, that it says, but there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect, implying that those who are saved will never, ever get deceived by somebody like this, a psychopath, deranged freak like that.
Yeah.
So, there you go.
It's kind of crazy. Also, he kind of made it clear that the new IFB is like one of his biggest enemies. And I, you know, for me, for someone to go from believing, or at least claiming, to believe salvation is a free gift by faith and having a lot of, quote, truth on their side, to then go to this extreme of an antichrist, almost makes me feel like it had to be demonic. Like there's some kind of demonic, satanic presence here. And what I think's interesting is here's a clear example of someone that's probably the most demonic person I've seen in our lifetime, pointing out the new IFB as one of his biggest threats. Is that not almost kind of a confirmation that maybe the new IFB is kind of one of the biggest threats, even from the demonic realm or what the devil looks to? What are your guys' thoughts when you hear someone like this saying the new IFB is like...
Yeah, it's
kind of
like Jesus.
I think you guys, like some of you guys are like the Ten Kings or something like that, right?
Yeah, I was just saying that. Right? I made it on the list somehow. I don't know who else is on it, but I'm sure Pastor Anderson's on it, but...
Yeah, I think it was like back when that
Pastor
conference.
Pastor Jimenez, Pastor Perry, Manly Perry.
Yeah, well, some of them got taken out. They were like the three kings that got plucked up by the roots, you know?
Oh, yeah. Manly Perry was subdued, though.
Oh, okay. By Justin LeBlanc, right? Oh, man, that's hilarious.
But I think that was the other way around, yeah? Right? Didn't he kick Justin LeBlanc out of his church or something?
I think they're not friends anymore. Who knows?
Is anybody matter. Friends with Tyler Doka? That's the
no
real
one.
Question.
What's weird about it, though, anymore. Is that I will see people say in some of the comments on there, they'll say, I believe in you, Tyler. And then he'll, like, say, thank you, my son, or just weird stuff like that. People are donating money to him. He's probably more popular now than he ever was when he was with us, but, like, he used our movement as a springboard to try to get some real people and then just took away all the trash with him.
Well, it doesn't seem like he believed what we believe. Do you even think he believes the flat earth, or do you think he was just trying to gather followers with that too?
Probably. I mean, he seems like he believes it. I mean, I held his snow globe in my hand, the flat earth snow globe. It had, like, you know, the map that you always see on, like, images, but it's like a globe that you can look at. It was weird. I was like, where did you get this at?
That's just crazy.
Because we were supposed to do a documentary, and me and somebody else went and interviewed him, and now apparently they're buddies or something. I don't know, but I don't want to talk about that
now. Do you think any engineers could be convinced that the earth is flat, Pastor Robinson?
Not any good engineers.
Okay. That's just insane to me. Now, obviously, false Christ is just one aspect of kind of a sign of the time, but it does appear like maybe there's maybe a few more antichrists that have come around. Also, though, the Bible talks about wars and other things like this. I think that there was a clip of Donald Trump talking about World War III. Some people argue we're already in World War III with the Ukraine war, but... What is your perspective on this, Ben? Do you think that we're already in World War III, or do you think that it's just kind of a rumor?
No, I mean, I think it's very possible just because of the fact that you look at the way geopolitics are set up right now, and we're basically like at war with Russia by proxy through Ukraine, which is really scary to think about. Obviously, you know, I guess it just depends on what your definition of war is. Is it a hot war where the United States Army is invading some foreign nation and we're in some kind of nuclear conflict right now? No. But you could argue politically, when you see what's going on behind the scenes, that there definitely is a lot of back and forth in terms of antagonistic language between the United States and Russia. And it makes you feel like we're in some kind of conflict right now. It just hasn't necessarily hit the military front just yet in terms of the U.S. Army going and invading some foreign country. But I will say this, that the Bible specifically mentions rumors of wars. And when you have guys like Trump and others coming out and saying, we're on the precipice of World War III, here we go, Joe Biden's putting us in the position for this to happen, it fits the description of what the scripture is talking about. Rumors of wars.
Now, what about you guys, your perspective? Obviously, you know, there's always been a lot of wars, even in the 20th century. But do you really see there being, like, kind of this big World War III as kind of a precursor or a big sign of the end times? Or do you think that it's unknowable from a world, like, a war perspective? What do you think, Pastor Thompson?
Well, I mean, I was just thinking about this verse when he was talking, and it's Daniel 8:25. It says, "And through his policy also he shall cause craft to prosper in his hand. He shall magnify himself in his heart, and by peace shall destroy many. He shall also stand up against the prince of princes, but he shall be broken without hand." But I think that what we see in this world right now is a lot of policy actually subduing people more than guns and warfare. I mean, you see a lot of, you know, all these policies being placed as a global government. I mean, the global government is basically in place. It's just not fully sprung yet. I mean, we have a global currency. And, you know, if say some president in Uganda says homos should be punished by the death penalty, and then everybody in the world chimes in with their policy to try to subdue him, and then the United States says, we're going to try to make him, you know, do what we want him to do, and they do that through policy by not giving them money. So basically, we kind of support all these countries as a welfare system. And this, you know, and all these other nations, and if they go against the policy, then they're cut off with their money. So,
absolutely.
I mean, I just believe that part of the coming world war is going to have. I mean, there's all these policies will be in place. I mean, we got all this, you know, this stuff about these tree huggers, you know, coming together to try to make our gas prices higher and pimp their stupid climate change garbage.
Yeah.
So, I mean, those policies are in place. I mean, they have all these accords and all these different things. So anyway, I don't know if I'm answering the question right, but I just think that, you know, because
yeah, I'm just trying to say specifically, do you think that a war will be a big precursor, like a big world war or something obvious?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it would be. But, I mean, I just think that a lot of it's going to get done through policy. But, yeah, I mean, there's obviously the Bible talks about there being, you know, this big famine and all these, and because of the war, there's famine and all this. Currency is downgraded. Yeah. And stuff
peace
like that.
Will be taken from the earth, according to one of the seals. People refer to that as the beginning of sorrows, typically the first 3.5 years of Daniel's 70th week. There will be warfare for sure, and I think that will set the stage for the Antichrist, who will promise peace.
Well, peace and safety, when they say peace and safety, then they're going to be destroyed. So, like, when Christ comes back, you know, their peace and safety, that was the slogan of the Roman Empire. And, you know.
What about you, Pastor Robinson? When it comes to war, is this going to be something that you think is kind of an obvious sign of the time? Or war is always happening, so it's kind of hard to pick? What are your thoughts on this?
I think it's going to be hard to know for sure until the abomination desolation. I think that's when we're really going to know. But let's say we had World War III. I think that could very well be going into the fourth seal, for example. So you have the first one where you're taking peace from the earth, but then you have the fact that a fourth part of the earth is going to be given to be killed with the sword and all that. Now, I don't believe that necessarily means fourth part of the population is going to die, but more so the fourth part of the earth as far as geographically. So when you think about world war and just like the idea of like there's going to be war over like a quarter of like the nations, if you will, and the fact that there's going to be that much warfare going on. And I think that really gets into that flood that's coming out of the serpent's mouth, and that's going to be swallowed up, but that's what leads into the abomination desolation, and then we're going to have the great tribulation. But I do think that there's going to be, obviously I agree with everything you're saying about the you know, the policies and how that's going to basically, it's almost kind of like, the Patriot Act and how it was kind of already written and it was already kind of in place, and it took that act of like 9/11 for them to basically, all right, time to sign that. It was already crafted. It was already kind of put in place, and that act of war is what basically pulled the trigger for it. And so I think all those policies and everything are going to be leading up to the fact of, okay, we have this world war, it's time to have peace, but in order to have peace, we got to get rid of anybody that's against it.
So you think that flood in Revelation 12 that's described there that the earth swallows up is a literal flood? You wouldn't say it's just figurative in your mind?
I personally think it's figurative.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, like it's talking about armies.
Gotcha.
Like a flood of armies. That's personally what I believe about it. I'm not saying there couldn't be.
Well, the Bible describes armies using the word flood over and over again, including in Daniel chapter 9, where it talks about the end thereof shall be with a flood.
Exactly. Yeah, so when it says that in Daniel 9, I think that's talking about like a world war and that quarter of the earth being basically encompassed in war. I used to believe that it was like the fourth part of the earth was going to be killed.
Yeah.
But I think it's more so like a fourth part of the earth is given to be killed with the sword, meaning that it's more of a geographical, or maybe a quarter of the nations or something like that are going to be at war. So that will lead into the abomination of desolation. And I think that's where we'll really know. Because let's say we had a world war right now. It may not be the world war that's going to lead into the abomination of desolation. I think my ears are going to be perked, and I'm going to be like, I think this could be it. But I don't know if even then, because we had World War II, World War I, you know, there's wars throughout history to where you could probably use that same argument and say, this could be leading into it.
Oh, yeah. If we were alive during World War II, all of us would be like, all right, it seems it's around the corner.
Hitler seems like he could have been an Antichrist figure. Mm. You got a lot of war stuff going on. I think that it could have been easy to think that. I think the flood thing's interesting because obviously Revelation 12, where that's coming from, is a very symbolic chapter as a whole. Like, there's no way to disagree with the idea of it being a lot of symbolism. I've kind of always leaned towards the idea of it actually being a possible literal flood, just from a couple thoughts of, like, number one, God promised that he would never destroy the earth with a flood. And I think that the rainbow and the flood is kind of significant, that it could play an end times role as the devil attempts to kill mankind through a flood. And then God prevents that, kind of showing his promise as kind of this interesting end times promise. And additionally, when I think about the way it's kind of worded there, I mean, the Bible talks about it's going to be like flowing out of the devil's mouth. I think about, there's so much lies right now about this like climate change narrative, and a lot of it is about how the earth is warming and heating, and it's going to melt the polar ice caps, which is then going to create like rising sea and rising oceans. And I'm just wondering, like, is it possible? And this is speculation 100%, but just I'm like, what if they just like nuked the polar ice caps? Like, what if they just sent a bunch of nuclear bombs? Would that potentially cause like a giant flood on the earth, where essentially it would just cause like a quick rising sea, and it could be like an attempt to just kind of like destroy the earth while all these elites hide in their bunkers or something like that? I don't know. I'm just saying, like, I've thought about it, and like, it seems like it's plausible that it could be a literal flood. I'm still open to the idea, like, you're right, it could just be a flood of men or a spiritual, picture.
I'm not against that, and it could be maybe both, when the fact that you're dealing with that. I mean, I think about Job and the fact that God allowed the devil to basically take away all his children, but it talks about the devil basically bringing this, is it an east wind or west wind? So the devil obviously can kind of, he has power over certain elements when it comes to nature. So I wouldn't be against that the devil has the power to do something like that, as far as to maybe cause a big flood. And the fact, like you said, God doesn't let it happen because he said he wouldn't allow the earth to be flooded with water. I can definitely see how that would fit.
Well, and again, like the chapter, I think the emphasis is that the devil wants to kill every person. Mm-hmm. So, like, to me, it'd be hard to do that when you have a flood of army, because that army's not going to necessarily kill themselves, but the flood's just a goal to just kill every single person indiscriminately, kind of like Noah's Ark style. But, you know, again, that's just my speculation. I don't know the answer on that or not. But I do think would be interesting is that if we're, as Christians, though, and saved, like, we would never be afraid of a global flood. Like, if someone said, hey, the entire earth's going to be flooded, us as Christians would be like, nope, that's never going to happen. And it wouldn't necessarily, like, freak us out, whereas people that are unsaved or whatever, they might get deceived and be worried about, you know, this global flood or something like that. But I do think that's kind of interesting. To kind of keep going down our list here of some questions, I want to ask a little bit more specific question on this war. Thinking about this world war, some people hyperbolize or think about it being maybe a war against Islam. Like, because Islam's really influential. It's crept into Europe majorly. It's very anti-humanity. People are very resistant to Islam. Also, you kind of have, geopolitically, you have China and Russia, who are also kind of strategically aligned against the West. If you were to say, hey, we're going to enter in the times pretty soon, do you think it's more likely that the Antichrist is going to try and make a war against Islam or something more like a China-Russia alliance? What is your opinion, Pastor Thompson?
Man, I don't know. It could be all those things, but it also could
combination.
Be... combination. Yeah, but it also could be... You know, it sounds like he's going to subdue everybody. So, I mean, I really don't know, but that is a plausible theory with the whole Islam thing. But it could just be all haters, all religious haters, and we would fall into that camp probably at some point too, like right now. But anyway, yeah, I mean, I don't know. So when I was thinking about what I was saying about policy, the policies will be in place, but there will be a real war. I really believe that. And as far as the flood, I mean, something happens between Revelation chapter 12 and Revelation chapter 13, and the beast is killed. He's
yeah.
assassinated and comes back to life. So that's that. I mean, there's something warlike going on, and he's already, I think at the time that the mark of the beast happens, he's already conquered who he's going to conquer. And
well, it could be retaliation.
The next thing he does is he rules the whole world with the 10 kings right after that.
So. Doesn't he? But he betrays 3 kings, so I always thought it could be likely that someone from that particular kingdom retaliates against the Antichrist for having subdued, you know, 3 of the kings that gave him his power. I don't know.
Yeah, it's hard to know. So, but, I mean, it is all speculation. I don't have too much of a speculation on that.
Well, you know, we're supposed to be looking for these things, and sure. Obviously, you know, we look through a glass darkly. When they actually happen, we'll all know the right answer. I really appreciate you coming on the podcast this evening, Pastor Thompson. He's going to be preaching this evening, so we're gonna actually swap him out with Pastor Mejia. But if you want to check out Pastor Thompson's sermon, you need to go to bandbutnotbound.com, and you need to subscribe to their email list, because we want you to be able to hear the Red Hot Preaching Conference. It's only going to be sent out through an unlisted link through the email list, so you got to get on the email list if you want to hear the sermons. You got to do it. Also, we're going to be coming out with a new documentary called LGBT Terrorists, and I'm really excited about this project. It's something that it actually evolved a little bit. Initially, it was just going to be just something we kind of slapped together real quick, but I ended up asking Pastor Mejia if he would end up making an introduction for our film. And his introduction was so good that it made me feel like, man, we need to make this documentary even better. So Pastor Mejia, he helped us make an introduction to our film, The LGBT Terrorist. I'm really excited about releasing this. We're going to have a special airing of it Saturday, tomorrow night, here at Red Hot. You have to be in person to see it. And then by the end of the month, we're going to release it on Rumble. You got to follow us on Rumble, Steadfast Baptist, KJV at Rumble. And we're going to be releasing the film in July. You don't want to miss it. Also, we're going to be having some special series of the Baptist Bias here in August. We've got some guest preachers lined up. We're going to be covering topics on the King James Bible and just feminism and a lot of different things. And I'm really excited about some of the special guests we're going to have. But we have with us tonight Pastor Bruce Mejia from First Church Baptist Church. He's going to be preaching tonight. Why don't you say hi to everybody, Pastor Mejia?
Can everyone hear me?
Yeah, you're good.
Okay, is this just for looks or what?
This is for just to hear, like, the broadcast if we play a video or something.
Oh, okay, cool. All right. Well, good to be here. What, is this the Rod of Iron or what is this?
No.
Welcome
check
to the
cameras.
Rod of Iron Podcast, Fundamental Baptist.
Check the cameras. Mas Cafe.
Mas Cafe.
Can someone get him a coffee, please? I mean, what's going on here?
Good to see you guys. Good to be here.
Yeah.
Pastor Shelley, how you doing?
Doing great.
Shake your hand.
It's great to see you.
Great to see you.
Ben? Looking sharp. I'm
glad you made it
always.
Out.
I'm glad that...
By hook or by crook.
I was bummed.
Yeah.
And then I was happy you were here.
It was a pretty crazy week.
I gave some high fives when I found out that you were coming. So.
Amen. Thank you. Yeah, thank you for praying for me. And I'm just glad to be able to make it out here. I was sick for so many days, and it was just a miserable week. But, as of the last couple of days, I just recovered, and so just glad to be here. I'll be here the whole weekend. looking forward to some preaching tonight and tomorrow and Sunday, and so glad to be here.
That's awesome. And we were kind of talking about end times. We've been talking about the signs of the times. We talked a little bit about war, Revelation chapter 12. We also brought up the flood, which you don't know what we said, but we'll just put you on the hot spot, all right?
Revelation 12.
In Revelation 12, the Bible says that essentially the dragon's going to cast out a flood, and he's trying to destroy the woman. Is it your opinion that this flood is an actual literal flood, or do you kind of think of it more of a symbolic way? Is this something that you kind of thought about?
Well, I've always thought that it had something to do specifically in the end times, something that the Antichrist was going to do as far as sending forth an army. Maybe it had to do with the times of the Gentiles. But as of recent, within the last year or so, I started taking the interpretation that it's probably just a callback to Herod when he sent forth men to kill the children in order to kill baby Jesus. And so if you look at the wording, and I don't have the verses before me, but you know, it talks about how the dragon was wroth, right? And then in the story with Herod, when he's deceived by the wise men, it also says that he was wroth. And it kind of has a similar language there, and he sends forth all these people to kill the children in order to kill baby Jesus, and of course he doesn't succeed. And so now I'm more leaning towards, it's probably just a callback to that particular instance in the Gospels. Not to say that it doesn't have future fulfillment, but, you know, Revelation 12 is a pretty enigmatic chapter. A lot going on there, so.
A lot of symbolism.
A lot of symbolism, for sure.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of different perspectives on that particular chapter. I think that's pretty interesting. Now, as we talk about other signs of the times, the Bible even talks about just humanity kind of degrading itself. You could think of 2 Timothy chapter 3, the Bible talking about this downward spiral of humanity, and the Bible talking about in the end times it's going to be perilous times, the last days. And we even see just narcissism on the rise, people being very selfish in general, and able to make very selfish statements. And no one even blinks an eye. People actually praise very selfish, narcissistic behavior. There's a clip that we have of Michelle Williams, who is a famous actress, and she gave a speech at the Academy Awards where she talked about how she essentially had to murder her children or have abortions to stay in a profession and end up winning this particular award. And she's basically just praising abortion, praising selfishness, praising kind of the worst form of narcissism in our society. And I want to play this clip real quick so people know what we're talking about, and then I want to get you guys' thoughts. But let's hear this wicked selfishness coming from Michelle.
I've tried my very best to live a life of my own making, and not just a series of events that happened to me, but one that I could stand back and look at and recognize my handwriting all over, sometimes messy and scrawling, sometimes careful and precise, but one that I had carved with my own hand. And I wouldn't have been able to do this without employing a woman's right to choose.
That's coming from Hollyweird, and the more and more time goes on, I feel like people are very different than the media and Hollywood want to present for us. Yet, at the same time, is this kind of a sign of our culture as a whole becoming very selfish to the point where they're willing to kill their own children, essentially having almost no natural affection? It's kind of maybe a precursor to what the world's going to be like in the end times. What is your thoughts on this, Pastor Robinson? Do you feel like this is just an anomaly, just Hollywood's only like this? Or you feel like even society as a whole, especially in America, is kind of becoming more narcissistic, selfish, and that could be kind of a sign of where we're headed?
I think Hollywood is a reflection of our society. And when you think about Hollywood, you think about that woman right there, that she's literally holding up an idol, and she sacrificed the child to get it. Obviously calls back to the fact of people sacrificing their sons and their daughters to false gods, to Molech, and so there's nothing new under the sun. I do think that in the end, most people have abortions for greed. You know, it's not because they're afraid that they're going to get, you know, like there's most people think, well, it's for the safety of the mother. The mother's going to die. No, it's usually because they just don't want to financially provide, or they don't want to give up any of their time to take care of the children. And so I do think that if you think about the precursor to the flood and the precursor to Sodom and Gomorrah, that's what's told is going to be what the end's going to be like. So if you think about why did God flood the earth, because it was filled with violence. And what's more violent than destroying an unborn child? You know, like I can't think of anything that's more violent than harming innocent children like that. So, you know, when I think about that, I think about the flood, and I think about how that relates to how if abortion is just running rampant, that checks that box. And I know we already know that the other box has been checked with Sodom and Gomorrah when it comes to that stuff being prevalent in our country.
Right.
So
that was pretty poetic how you worded that, of how she essentially sacrificed her child on the altar to get an idol. And it kind of brings back a lot of imagery when you think about the Bible itself on those particular topics. You know, I really, when you hear about natural affection, it's pretty broad. I think there's a lot of things that we could point to, but wouldn't you think, like, for a woman, the most natural instinct is to protect her child, and for her to murder it is almost like the epitome of the absence of natural affection. What do you think, Pastor Mejia? Like, is there really anything worse that a woman could do as far as, like, proving she has no natural affection?
Yeah, I mean, you know, the Bible, when we're talking about the end times, it says that because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. And so, obviously, part of the reason why women are aborting their children and it's becoming normalized is to kind of weaken the conscience of the nation and essentially cause the love of the nation to dissipate for innocent people. And I think the main purpose of that is for the fact that, you know, in the future, Christians are going to be killed. Well, in order for a world to exist where it's normalized to kill Christians, for the world to kind of be like in unison and unify around the thought of just murdering Christians without any remorse, you're going to have to build up to that.
Right.
You know what I mean? And so a world has to become really callous and past feeling and without natural affection because of the fact it has to build up to a point where, you know, even when the two witnesses are killed, their bodies can literally lie in the streets for days without being buried, and people give gifts one to another and no one blinks an eye at it. So it kind of shows you the state of the world in the end times, when two corpses can just lay in the street and everyone's celebrating and they're giving each other gifts. You know, abortion obviously plays a role in that because you're taking the life away of an innocent child. How much more are you going to take away the life of a grown person who confesses Christ and is a Christian, is a believer?
So. Well, you know, it's interesting. You made me think of something because you know, when we've gone viral or gotten a lot of attention for preaching about how sodomites should be put to death according to the Bible, like in Leviticus 20:13, there was this preacher that said, well, if we're going to do that, there's other sins that people are supposed to be put to death for, like adultery and like murder. And he kind of made this statement like, well, almost everybody would be put to death. And I was thinking like, well, that's a big exaggeration, because there's not that many people in America. I mean, there's still a large percentage of America that hasn't committed a crime worthy of capital punishment. I was thinking, like, could that actually become true? Could we get to, you said iniquity shall abound, and when we think about precursors of the flood, the Bible says the thoughts of men were only evil continually. Could it actually get to a point where us preaching the death penalty is actually an attack on every single person? And if that was true, then you could see why people would be so callous. Like, I'm sick and tired of these people constantly saying how evil we are and all the wickedness that we're doing, and they just want to shut us up, kill Christians, and just kind of hate on them. I mean, do you think that the world could get so bad, or America get so bad, that almost everybody has committed sins that are worthy of death according to the Bible? What do you think about this, Pastor Robinson?
I mean, it's a very interesting thought, because, I mean, obviously abortion, if you know what you're doing when you're killing a baby, that would be worthy of death, you know, and the doctor would be worthy of death. The thing that's interesting when you think about, like, is it in our day? You think about history and how you kind of had your highs and your lows when it comes to, let's say, just that type of violence. and then it was pulled back. And the question is will it pull back, right? When you think about, like, Roe v. Wade being overturned and a lot of the states basically banning abortion, will our country kind of come out of it a little bit and then kind of get back on a higher plane? Or is it just kind of like we have a little bit of a hump and then it's just like straight down into hell kind of thing? And but I do think that it's going to be to that level of like you said in Genesis chapter 6, where if that's the way, it's going to be like in the days of Noah. So it's kind of hard to fathom that that would be the case.
Yeah.
But then again, 10 years ago, I didn't think that drag queen story time would actually be something people were trying to defend.
Well, so. You know, and I thought about this, like, when we look about the Canaanites in the Bible, and it tells us all the horrible things in Leviticus that they did, sometimes I wonder, like, is this, like, every single person, like, every single Canaanite? Or was this just prevalent in their society? Like, because you could make the case that everything on that list, some Americans have done. I mean, there's some Americans that have practiced things like bestiality and incest and sodomy and, like, but again, as a whole, we're not like that as a whole. I mean, most people that you run into aren't these, like, freaks and weirdos. It's just being tolerated in our society. And I kind of wonder, like, is the Canaanite society, when God was destroying them through the Israelites, was it like America today, or was it much worse? What is kind of your thoughts here, Pastor Mejia? Do you think that Canaan was, like, we have a long way to go, or do you think that we're already kind of there?
Well, I think the biggest thing we got to look at is, where are Christians at? Like, how desensitized have Christians as a whole become to iniquity, abominable things?
Yeah.
Because, like, I think of, like, Judges 19, where you have this situation with the sons of Belial, and how the guy is just able to just dismember this woman's body and just send her body parts all over the nation. And, you know, to even fathom or to come up with the idea, like, I know what to do. I know how to get everyone's attention. Let me just cut this woman's body up and send her all over. I mean, that's crazy to even think of doing it. And then, you know, for people to receive that, and obviously they know about what's going on with the sons of Belial. But obviously the nation of Israel at that point had gone to had passed the threshold of being desensitized to sin, that this guy can literally just commit this crazy act of dismembering a body and not really think anything of it. Whereas us today, you know, that would make us sick. It's not even something that we would come up with in our imagination. So really, at the end of the day, I think it's like, where are Christians when it comes to this? Like, where are their, where do they draw the line? You know, what makes them sick kind of thing? Obviously, the Canaanites are always going to be Canaanites. And, you know, there's always going to, the unsaved are going to be unsaved. It's like, how far are Christians willing to go though? What are Christians willing to tolerate? What makes them sick? How far are they willing to go? You know?
Yeah, like in Ezekiel, the Bible's saying that the Lord's seeking for a man and he can't find any. Obviously, there were still saved people. Obviously, there were still people that were children of God, but they just weren't willing to stand in the gap. They weren't willing to kind of lead a charge or do something about it. And it's like, you know, how much are Christians going to tolerate? And it seems like so far they've been tolerating almost everything. But there's been an awareness of pedophilia and a lot of agendas recently. And you kind of wonder, like, do we have an opportunity here for revival? Brother Ben, I mean, where are you kind of leaning? Do you think that we have an opportunity here for revival? To piggyback off of Pastor Jimenez's sermon, I mean, we might as well try, right?
Absolutely. Let's try. And you know, there are some who would say that perhaps when you look at the chronology of the end times, that a revival has to happen. Some might argue that it's already happened in the past or whatever, but when I read the Olivet Discourse and it talks about that this gospel, the kingdom, shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come, it makes me wonder, maybe there is going to be a period of spiritual revival that happens before the rapture. But I will say this, when it comes to at least the issue of the sodomites, at the very least, people are now beginning to wake up to the fact that they're a bunch of groomers, that they're pedophiles, that they're disgusting, that they're defiling children. They just need to make the leap and realize it's not like, oh, there's a segment of them that are bad and this other segment is good. No, they're all pedophiles. They're all, going after the kids. And one other thing, too, I wanted to piggyback off of what you said. You talked about Ezekiel, and also Pastor Mejia, you brought up how are Christians going to respond to this thing. Well, to me, a good barometer for how our, the state of our society is, are Christians sighing and crying, like Ezekiel chapter 9? Are they sighing and crying, or are they just accepting the depravity as the status quo? That's how we'll know where we're at, I think. Are Christians en masse sighing and crying as a result of the depravity of this nation? And we have a long way to go. Read Revelation 17. What's Mystery Babylon? The mother of harlots and abominations. I mean, that is a magnitude of evil that I don't know that we can even conceptualize right now.
Well, and I think there's a lot of things that have been going on. I know that the film that was brought up, The Sound of Freedom, it's actually going to be a little bit of, we're going to talk about a little bit in our documentary as well. Pastor Robinson preached on it. I know a lot of Christians have been preaching about it. It's kind of exposing how there's a lot of evil going on. And it almost seems like to me a positive sign is that the power of the media has kind of diminished in the last few years, because I think a lot of people have started to realize that they're just only lying. And I think what would be powerful, and I think for me personally, I'm going to just start saying it's the Jewish media from now on, because that's all it is. We don't have an American media. We don't have anybody that cares
anti-Semitic,
about America.
Anti-Semitic.
Whatever you want to call me, I don't care. But if you look at ABC, NBC, all of these different institutions, it's just a Jewish media. And why do I care what their perspective is on this world? And we need America to stop caring. I mean, if we could detach ourselves from how media has been set up, if a new institution was formed, they say, hey, we're a bunch of Antichrist Jews and we want to tell you the news, you'd be like, well, I don't care about that. But that is what it is. It is ABC, NBC, CNN. They are just simply a Jewish propaganda machine going out there spreading lies, and they've had so much power and influence over the culture for so long. But I think people need to start pushing back and saying, no, who cares what you guys think? Who cares what you say? You know, you're not real media. You're just a fake propaganda wing. And kind of stopping to allow them to have so much influence on our culture, and bring back the truth and the Bible as the influence on our culture. Bring back Baptist churches. And I know these guys are thundering forth and making an influence in the culture. But how do you guys see combating? Obviously, there's a lot of tools of the enemy out there right now, but how do you see us combating this news and negative media attention and really reaching people with the truth? What do you think, Pastor Robinson? Like, what is your goal or strategy to kind of overcome all the lies and the deception that's out there?
I think that to begin with, the Great Commission. So going out and preaching the gospel to every creature, bringing them into church, getting them baptized, and teaching them to observe all things. And really that grassroots of getting families strong in church, and raising our kids for the things of God, and raising that next generation. And kind of like we were talking about with the, will there be a revival? I preach for the best, and I prepare for the worst. You know, yeah. I, as far as prepare, you know, kind of hoping for the best, but I'm also not naive to think that it could be, you know, in our day and all that. But I do, like, see some glimmers of hope to where, hey, maybe we could be that Hezekiah generation or that Josiah generation right before the end, you know,
right,
where we can say, hey, we brought back our country from the pits of hell for a little while and saw this great revival. And then, you know, maybe the next or three generations down the line, they are the generation that it all goes downhill. So,
yeah, it seems like the harder that we fight, the longer God's going to delay. And so, you know, I'm incentivized to fight harder, even if we are getting closer to the end. I don't feel like we should pull any punches. What about you, Pastor Mee? I know you've gotten a lot of heat, but you're still standing strong. You're still fighting. Like, what is your goal as far as just really combating all the lies and the deception out there?
Well, the Bible says you can do nothing against the truth before the truth. So I think as long as Christians and churches and pastors are willing to proclaim the truth through every avenue, whether that's through their pulpits, one-on-one discipleship with, you know, people in their church, through soul winning, through social media outlets, whether we get to delete it on a weekly basis or not, the truth is always going to get out there. You know, they just deleted us again last week, but who cares? There's video game dudes who with 13 million subscribers making videos about me, and people are contacting me through my social media outlets because of that.
Amen.
So it's, I think no matter what you do, we can try to put in the effort to start channels and start all these things, and they can delete them. But at the end of the day, if we just keep proclaiming the truth and just be steadfast and faithful in doing so and not holding back, God will always open up a new door. There will always be a free course available for us, a road where the truth can travel to and get to a recipient, someone who's receptive to the truth, who wants the truth, and it'll change their life. You know what I mean? The Word of God will not return back void, according to the Bible. And so, you know, basically piggybacking off of what Pastor Robinson said, raising godly families, preaching the Word of God in my church, and then just kind of putting my fishing pole in every social media outlet, Rumble, yeah, YouTube, Instagram, TikTok, and let's see what fish bite. And you know what? The fish that are going to be biting are those who are looking for the truth.
You know, it sounds like, to summarize what you said, it's almost like the truth is banned but not bound. And you need to go to bannedbutnotbound.com. You need to get into the email list, and you need to sign up. You want to hear Pastor Mejia preaching tonight. First off, Pastor Thompson. Second, Pastor Mejia. And we have hundreds of people already filling in. This is going to be off the chain. It's going to be lit. It's going to be bass. It's going to be Chad. It's going to be everything you could
King
want.
Chad.
I've King never seen Chad. So many trad wives in my life, and I'm excited for this evening. It's great to be around so many like-minded brethren and people that are zealous and they love the truth. And, you know, what's so refreshing is to be around people that just want to hear what's right, whether it's popular or hurts their feelings or if it makes them look bad. They just want to know what's right. And it's just so refreshing because out in the world and around just normies, it seems like people are just so easily offended and they don't care what's right. They're so apathetic. And it's just so refreshing to be around people that just want to know what's right.
Man.
And they love the truth, to be a lover of truth. I think that's what really draws us out here, and that spirit, that camaraderie about the love of the truth. Ben, you know, is this why you're here, the truth?
Absolutely. I mean, that's why I'm here. You know, I want to hear unfiltered preaching from men of God who aren't a bunch of limp-wristed sissies that are afraid of the reaction they might get from preaching a little too hard on quote-unquote controversial issues. But I'll say this, it shouldn't be controversial to stand against child offenders. It shouldn't be controversial to stand against, Ted Cruz, you piece of crap, you scumbag. You're going to get me off on a rant here. But my point is, it shouldn't be controversial, but it is in our wicked society, and I just thank God that there's a place I can go where everyone's normal. Just normal, at the very least.
Well, we're wrapping up because we're about to start. Pastor Mejia, why don't you give us some final thoughts before we go?
Yeah.
Give us some plugs. How can we find you?
I don't know how you're going to find me. I'm in Anaheim.
Go to his church.
You can come to my church is what you could do.
That's right.
You can follow me on Instagram if you want. I haven't started a new channel yet. But, you know, you can always
go to his website.
You can go to my website, fwbcla.org. Get in contact with me there. But more than that, go visit the churches. That's what everyone needs to do. You know what I mean? Go to Steadfast Baptist Church. Go to Mountain Baptist Church. Go to Verity Baptist Church. Come to First Works Baptist Church. The best way to get in contact with us is by actually coming physically, getting in contact with us at church, singing the hymns, being under the preaching, getting the fellowship with God's people. That's the best way to do it. So.
Thanks so much for being on here. Pastor Robinson, you're in West Virginia. Give us an idea. How do we get in contact with you? Where's your church at?
We are located in Fairmont, West Virginia. So we're in the north central West Virginia area. And you can contact us through you can find us on our website, mountainbaptist.org, or you can email me at mountainbaptistwv@gmail.com. And, come out.
He's our lone mountain ranger out there, you know, on the northeast coast. And so if you're anywhere in the area, you got to go check out these guys.
Man.
They're on polar extremes of the United States, but you know what? They're standing on the same King James Bible, and they got a great spirit. And I'm really excited about this evening. You also got to visit Verity Baptist Church, folks.
Amen.
Amen.
One of the greatest churches in the world. Pastor Jimenez, class act. It's hard to walk away and not be in awe of his leadership, his church, the music. I mean, they have dueling pianists over here. I mean, it was just like amazing last night. And that's pretty much going to do it for this evening. Ben, why don't you sign us off?
Well, appreciate the chance to be here. God bless you all.
and we'll talk to you guys again after a while.